You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Where do you turn on those nights that you wake up in the dark with a burden on your heart? Welcome to Through the Bible, where our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers this question for himself as we continue our study in the New Testament book of Hebrews in chapter 2. So as you find your seat on the Bible bus and your place in God's Word, I got a few great letters from our friends on the Bible bus. Now, as you know, we love your letters all year long, but December is a special time for us. Dr. McGee called it Letter Month, and we've kept that tradition alive. So thanks for making an extra effort to write and share with us all the good things that God has done in your life through His Word. I sure hope that these recent letters will inspire you to share your own story. The first one's from Ken and Jenny, who tell us this. We continue our small group activities each week at assisted living facilities using Dr. McGee's teaching. We have many resident friends and are blessed beyond measure. My, how they love to sing hymns and praise God. When friends and relatives visit, they join us. Our recent donation is for the helmet of salvation to be added to the Bible bus as a hood ornament. We love the TTB team. Well, thanks so much for that, Ken and Jenny. That hood ornament idea is great, and I like your style. So God bless your ministry to those folks. It's a valuable one. Our next one comes from Amanda, who shares this. I'm 20 years old and was introduced to the Bible bus by my dad. He has ridden the Bible bus before by listening to BBN radio. We both have enjoyed listening to Dr. McGee, and I particularly love the unique and different ways he looks at Scripture. Right now, I'm traveling through Leviticus. Hearing how this book points to Christ and the salvation he brings has been eye-opening. Honestly, I never thought the law books were so important when it comes to preaching the good news found in the New Testament. But as I've learned, the entire Bible preaches and points to Jesus Christ, God's Son. I'm so thankful God gave His Word to us. Thanks again for the work you all do for others and for God. It's making a difference. Our last note comes from Kent in Massachusetts, and he writes, I have had a sticker on my truck that mentions Through the Bible for quite a while. This morning while fueling, the driver at the adjacent pump smiled and asked me if I had put the sticker on. I said yes, and he said it's been his favorite program for the last 10 years. We talked for a minute, and I found out he listens in Spanish. That was a real blessing for me. That's great. I love when our Bible bus family meets each other in person. So thanks for sharing the program. And maybe in heaven, we're going to get to meet a couple of people who hopped aboard with us after seeing your sticker. Well, as I said, it's Letter Month, and you know we'd certainly love to hear from you. Have you had maybe a favorite study this year? What has God put on your heart as we traveled through His Word? Have you shared what you're learning with others? Let us know. In our app, you can just click feedback in the menu or send your note by email to biblebus@ttb.org, and you can always mail your letter to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1, or leave a message with your story at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now let's pray and get the Bible bus rolling. Father, thank you for Jesus' death on the cross on our behalf. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to believe and be saved. Today and every day, Lord, help us to glorify you in all that we do. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen. We're off to Hebrews chapter 2 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come down to verse 18 of chapter 2, but I want to drop back for just a moment to the key verse that I called attention to in this chapter, which actually is verse 9 of chapter 2. And let me read that again before we get through with the chapter, because we're right down now to the last verse. But we see Jesus, and how wonderful that is, because in the next chapter, we are called upon to behold Him, to consider Him, to look upon Him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, that word little is something I should have emphasized before, and I did not. I would like to come back and say that what the writer here means is the emphasis is not that He was made just a little lower than the angels, but the emphasis is upon a time. It was for a little time. Or we could say, who was made for a little time lower than the angels. That was for that brief time that he came to this earth, 33 years to be exact. And he was made lower than the angels, not for the suffering of death, but because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, he wasn't crowned with glory and honor by his death, but he was crowned with glory and honor because he came to this earth and died on the cross for you and me. The thing I've emphasized, and I would reemphasize it again and again here, there is today a man in the glory. He wasn't there 2,500 years ago. There was there the second person of the Godhead. All right, let's call him Jehovah, for Jesus is Jehovah, and he's God. He is very God of very God. But today, he's very man of very man, and he took upon himself that, and he was given, therefore, because he did this, glory and honor that is in heaven today that wasn't there before. And we are told here as we move on down that he was made perfect through suffering. Now, though he was the Son of God, though he was God, yet his perfect life never saved us. His virgin birth does not save us. Actually, his teaching does not save us. And his miracles do not save us. His example does not save us. But it was his death upon the cross that saves us. And he was made complete. He reached completeness in dying for us on the cross. Now, that's the reason that I have made this statement on this program and probably will make it again. If you could convince me today that all that God has done for a lost world is to pitch in a book down here that we call the Bible, and he's been aloof from all of it, and up yonder in heaven, and he's just looked down upon man and said, it's too bad, here's a book, hope you can work your way out. If that's all God has done, I'm prepared to turn my back upon him today. But friends, I'm not prepared to turn my back upon him because that's not what he did. He came down to this earth and he took upon himself our humanity. And therefore, because of that, he suffered. He died upon the cross. Then I'm prepared today to trust him. I'm prepared today to love him because of what he's done for us. And that is the important thing for us to note here. Therefore, we behold him, we are told here. We see Jesus. And that word see is not a casual look. The word means that we look upon him with understanding, with the fact that we are recognizing there's something here that our little minds do not grasp. And we look upon him in faith, and in trust, and in wonder, and in awe, and in worship. That is all wrapped up in this little word here. We see Jesus. Do you see him today? As the Spirit of God taking the veil from your eyes that you can see him. This is a very wonderful, wonderful statement. Now we're told, and I'm going to just move back now to verse 16 and pick up our study as we come to the end of the chapter. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. He had done that in the Old Testament. And these Hebrews understood that in the Old Testament. The Hebrew believers understood that he was the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. But this time, he did not take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took upon him the seed of Abraham. That is, he came in this line, he came this way into the world, and God began the preparation way back yonder at the very beginning, even with Adam and Eve. At that time, God says that there would come the seed of the woman. Now it'll be in the line of Abraham. A little farther along in the Old Testament, it was to be in the tribe of Judah. And a little farther along, it was to be in the family of David of the tribe of Judah, of the nation Israel, of the seed of Abraham that goes all the way back now to the Garden of Eden. God was making this preparation, and he's to be born of a virgin. He is to be born in Bethlehem. I tell you, the Lord put up enough signboards that anybody should have found their way to Bethlehem, not wise men only, but even a fool, though he be a wayfaring man. He didn't need to err. He could have made his way to Bethlehem in that day, for God had put up these signs. So he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, in all things. Now, even today, there's a great deal of poverty in that land, especially among the Arabs. My heart goes out to the refugees there today. We can't condone the rash acts that they have committed, and murder and that sort of thing. But did you know that they've been living since 1948? They've been living in these refugee camps, and it's absolutely horrible the way they've had to live there. And even their own brethren, the other Arabs, have not permitted them to get integrated among the people. They've been confined to those camps. And all that our nation's ever done is poured in dollars. You know, we've had the insane notion now for years that the American dollar is a god, and that somehow or another that god can solve every problem if you just got enough of them. And my friends, you're going to have a whole lot of them these days, because I'm not sure what God is the one that devalued the dollar. We thought too much of it. And I found out that in traveling in countries in Europe and in Asia and in Africa, that the American dollar is not as big and as important as it once was. This God's been knocked off his pedestal, by the way. And those dollars that we sent over there never helped these people. It's too bad that we have had to send guns and dollars. And guns and dollars have not solved any problems anywhere. But that which we've begun to despise as a nation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it has brought blessing wherever it's gone, by the way. And it's too bad that we didn't get over there first. You remember it was Perry, when he opened up Japan, said, send 1 million Bibles over here, and if you don't, you're going to have to send 1 million men to fight. Well, we didn't send the Bibles, but we sure did send the men. And General Douglas MacArthur said the same thing. And we really fought a long war in Vietnam, didn't we? Too bad we don't send Bibles and missionaries and get the Word of God out today. We think we're practical, we're very pragmatic, and our dollars and our know-how and our science, it hasn't solved problems anywhere, friends. It's given people running water and giving them a bathtub and a commode on the inside the house, but that doesn't solve problems, you see. Today, we need to get the Word of God out. How important that is. Oh, how important that is. Now, let me come back to this. You say you've digressed. I hope that wasn't a digression. I hope that was very important. Now, listen to him in verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And he came in poverty. The poverty of the family Jesus came in is almost unspeakable, my friend. And he came down here among a subject people. They were under the heel of Rome. He wasn't born in a palace in Rome. He was born in a stable down in Bethlehem. He was in all points made like unto his brethren. He became one of them. You'd seen that little boy playing up yonder in Bethlehem and with a little ragged garment on. You'd never known who he was. These artists that paint him and he stands out as if he's some bright cameo. He was probably a dirty-faced little boy that played up there. He's made like unto his brethren, my friend. In emphasizing the deity of Christ, we are in danger of underestimating the humanity of Jesus. My friend, he was a real human being brought up there. And I want to say to you, I'm happy that I was not born in Bethlehem. I'm delighted I was not raised in Nazareth. I want to tell you, even today, they don't have too much of a chance there. And think what it was in Jesus' day. Not much of a chance. But he became a real human being, friends. He's the root out of a dry ground. If you went out here in Arizona and saw this iceberg lettuce ahead of it growing, you'd think that is a miracle. And it would be. It's sure a miracle to think that out of that background he came. He was a real human being, and you've never had a thought. You've never suffered anything. He doesn't already know all about, and for that reason, he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make not reconciliation, but propitiation for the sins of the people. He made a mercy seat for you and me to come to today, and that's what we need is mercy. And God has a great deal of it because Jesus made a mercy seat, and you can go there and get all the mercy you need. And I don't know about you, but I sure need a whole lot of it. And after I've used up a great deal of it, there's still plenty of it for you today. He made a mercy seat for the sins of the people. And that's the place and the only place today you can get mercy. Now, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. And the word should be tested. He was tested, not just for 40 days. That was the testing, of course, in a particular way. But his entire life was a testing, my friend. Being tested, he's able to succor them or help them that are tested. Now, I want you to follow me very carefully, because right here is where some of you are going to disagree with me. And that'll be all right. If you want to be wrong, that's your business. But will you listen to me? I'm going to be rather dogmatic here. The question is asked in the testing that was given to Jesus, could he have succumbed to it? Could he have fallen? And the answer is no. Now, there's something very important for us to note here. And will you follow me now very carefully? We speak of being tempted to do a wrong when what actually you and I mean is that we had the opportunity to do wrong and we wanted to do it. Now, the opportunity was the testing, but the desire to do wrong was sin. And a sinful desire is itself sin. Therefore, he never had that sinful desire. He was not a sinner. Well, he sure had the opportunity. And that's where Satan began with him at that point. He said to him, why don't you make these rocks here into bread? There are a lot of hungry people in the world. Why don't you turn the rocks? And if you've ever been to that land, friends, there are a whole lot of rocks there. It almost makes you smile and, in fact, laugh when you think of how ridiculous it was for that false rumor to get around that they were shipping Indiana marble over there to build a temple. Now, if you've been to that land, you find out they just don't need any more rocks. They got plenty of them. In fact, they would appreciate it if Indiana would order some rocks from them because they could spare them and still have plenty to build a temple. So that was the temptation. He could have made stones into bread, but he didn't. That was the test. His test was greater than mine. Because I want you to know this, if I could make stones into bread, I'd be in the bakery business. I'd make up a whole lot of bread. He could have, but he didn't. He had the opportunity, and that's the test that came, but he didn't yield to it. But he never desired to yield to the test, and he could not so desire for the very fact that he was God. And again, I ask the question, could Jesus have sinned? And the answer is no, he could not. Now, somebody's going to come back, well, then what was the purpose of the testing? And therefore, he could not be tempted. Well, may I say to you, if you want to put it like that, then should pure gold be tested? Up here in the gold mining country of California, they had an assayist at every one of those mines. You know why? They tested the gold. And if you had stopped the man that was testing it and said, well, you don't think that's pure gold? He says, of course it's pure gold. But we tested to prove that it's pure gold. And therefore, he was tested. I think I can give you a better illustration than that. When I was a boy, I lived in West Texas on the East Fork of the Brazos River. Now, in the summertime, there wasn't enough water in that river to rust a shingle nail. But in the wintertime, you could have floated a battleship down there. And so we had a flood one winter, and the Santa Fe went through our little town there. And by the way, the little town's disappeared now. And it went across the Brazos. And when we had a flood, it washed out the railroad bridge. It was a wooden bridge. And so they came in and put a steel bridge in. And then they brought two engines and put them on top of that bridge, and they tied down the whistles. Well, in our little town, we, you know, never heard two whistles at one time. So we all rushed down to the bridge. In fact, all 27 of us. We went down, and one of the extroverts in our little town asked the engineer, I says, what are you doing? He said, we're testing the bridge. And he said, do you think it'll fall down? And with a sneer, why, he said, of course it won't fall down. Well, then why are you putting the engine? We're putting the engines on there to prove that it won't fall down. Jesus was tested to prove that he was who he claimed to be. That's very important, you see. Actually, if Jesus of Nazareth had sinned, that would not have proved that God in the flesh could sin. It wouldn't have proved that. It would have proved that Jesus of Nazareth was not God in the flesh. The testing proved he's God in the flesh. He cannot sin. I hope that I made that point, though you may not agree with it, but that just happens to be the facts as they're presented in the Word of God. And he was tested, we're told here, in all points. Now will you notice, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tested, he's able to help them that are tested. Now I only got one verse in today, but this verse is very important because that's the subject of this epistle when we get now to the fifth chapter. From then on, we're going to be talking about the priesthood, the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to help those that are tested. And if there's one thing that we hope we can bring out in this epistle, and that is to make you and me very conscious that you and I have a high priest. He's alive right this moment. He's at God's right hand. And best of all, he's available. He's there. When I wake up in the dark watches of the night and toss and turn, as I sometimes do with some burden on my heart, I can look up and my great high priest, he's up there. He knows me and he understands, and I can take my burden to him. May I say to you that no matter what comes, when that dark moment comes, you and I go down through the valley of the shadow of death, we got a great high priest up yonder, and he's able to help those that are tested. He's able to help us today. I'm afraid that we're not using him as much as we should. We forget about him, and we try to fight the battle alone. He's available. He wants you to come to him. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If you're in a dark place today, remember what Dr. McGee just said. You don't have to fight these battles alone. No matter where you are or what you've done, Jesus reaches out to you now, and he's ready to give you his grace, his mercy, and peace when you turn to him and believe. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be saved by Jesus Christ, click on How Can I Know God in the menu of our app or at ttb.org. There you'll find several free downloadable resources by Dr. McGee that tell you more about God's purpose for your life and how he'll meet you in your time of need. Again, Find them by clicking on How to Know God in our app or at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll send you a few by mail. And if you want to know how you can deepen your study of God's Word and learn more about the humanity of Jesus, the shelves in our virtual library at ttb.org are filled with resources that will help you out as well. To listen to this message again or to share it with a friend, it's available anytime in our app or at ttb.org. Or for help in finding what you're looking for, just call 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'd love to help you out. Our exciting study of Hebrews continues in chapter 3. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it all, all to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise God to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. You shall be blessed with this message. Now here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, we thank God for this glorious opportunity that we can come into your homes and speak the word of truth to each and every person that will have an ear to hear what the word of God is saying. We have been going through some terrible challenges through the work of the enemy. But we know that God has said to us that, behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. But we're believing what the word of God says, and we're going to give him all the praise, because there's none like him. He's able and will do all things. So we put our trust and our hope and faith in him, because he is the deliverer. Praise God. Well, we thank you for tuning in. We want to look at what the word of God says this morning. We want to go into St. John 3 and verse 16, and we want to look at what God said. Praise the Lord. Not what man said, but what God said. And God is a good God, and he loves us. He loves the whole world. He loves the Chinese, Japanese, Nipponese. He loves everybody. Praise God. So we want to just speak the word today and allow the word to fall where it may, so that folks that hear it will receive what the word of God is saying. Praise God. Because God is a great God. He's mighty. He's loving and kind. And it's his will that everybody gets saved. But we know that that's not going to happen, because the book has already told us that there will be a remnant. You want to be part of that remnant, that we go and be with the blessing of the Lord. Now, let's look at what it says in St. John 3, verse 16. The word of God says, for God loved the world. Now, God loved the world. That's everybody. Everybody that's in the world, God loves them. But he doesn't love what they're doing. You know, most of the time, the people are doing what they want to do instead of following the one in whom God has sent. So it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died on the cross of Calvary for all of your sins, sicknesses and disease, and by his stripes you heal, then you can have eternal life. Praise God. I believe that. I believe what the word of God says.
Amen.
That Jesus died and was buried, and he rose again on the third day. He took all my sins and he nailed them to his cross. So, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his best, and he expects us to give our best when we're given anything pertaining to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it says here that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I tell you today that most people don't think about everlasting life, but it's a very serious matter, because once you are where your desires take you and what you believe, you're going to be there throughout the ages of eternity. And I choose heaven. Praise God. I choose to be with the Lord, because that's where the beauty and the blessings and everything that we need is, to be with the Lord. Praise God. But, Mr. Brooks, you think that because of what God has done for us, that he didn't do it because he didn't have anything else to do.
No,
he gave his son so that he could reap sons and daughters.
Amen.
Amen. So praise God. So we love that. So he says here that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is the same as eternal life, because the word tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the same thing. Eternal life, everlasting life. They both are the same. It's that you will be wherever you will be in that time frame. You'll be there throughout the ages of eternity. Praise God. Now, listen to what it says here. God loved the world. He didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the whole idea is that it's not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. But we know that everybody is not going to come to repentance, because people want to do what they want to do, have their own way, don't want to follow the things of God. But we will. We will put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God tells us there that in St. John 3 and verse 17, praise God. You want to look at that. And Ms. Word, would you read that, praise God, and let the people out there in Radio Land know that God loves us all, but he didn't come into this world to try to tear down the world. He came in this world with a specific function. St. John 3.
17.
Praise God.
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
See, that was his divine purpose. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus. And then we look at where the word tells us that it's not his will that any perish.
Uh-huh.
See, God loved his creation, and he wants all those that belong to him come back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't come back to him, praise God. It's a sad situation. So God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
And there's a reference in 2 Peter 3:9, which says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering.
Amen.
Toward us, not willing that any should perish,
right,
but that all should come to repentance.
Amen. But we know that all, we wish that all would come, praise God, but we know that all is not coming. So the ones that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the ones that will fall under that umbrella of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's merciful and he's compassionate. But a lot of people are doing what they want to do, and he wants them to serve him.
Yeah.
But they don't want to do it. They want to do their own will. But we know that God loves us.
Yeah, because it says in Romans 5:8, for God commended his love toward us.
Amen.
And that while we were yet sinners,
mm-hmm,
Christ died for us.
Amen. So he didn't wait until you got religious or started going to church. He loved you when you were a sinner. And that's very important. Very important. A lot of people say, well, I want to clean myself up. I want to stop this and stop that before I can come to church. No, don't let the devil lie to you. You can come as you are, but you won't stay as you are, because the reason being is that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ because he shed his precious blood there on Calvary's cross. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. See, God didn't send Jesus in the world to condemn the world.
Mm-mm.
He sent him here to save.
Right.
Save folks in the world.
Right.
And this is why we must trust him and believe everything that he has done on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yes, it is wonderful.
We should believe what Jesus has done. Put our faith in what Jesus has done. And our hope is in him, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. We want to trust our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Minister Glory, there have been times when thoughts come into your mind to take you some other place instead of actually and truly believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us have gotten carried away at some point. But what we have to do is believe.
Yeah.
Praise God.
That's all he's asking. By faith.
Yeah, well, by faith.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Amen. See what he can have is hope. Hope is future.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us say, well, we have hope that we'll be saved. Well, no. If you have hope, your hope is in the future. But see, faith is now.
Yes, right.
And that's what it says. Now faith is the hope of things. Praise God.
That's right.
So we're not relying on hope. We are saved now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as the word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. So this word, when we look at what the Lord has done,
yes.
He took all of our sickness and sin.
Yes, he did.
He took everything that could not be part of his kingdom, took that and nailed it to his cross.
Yes.
That's why we can firmly say, and if you're born again and watching the blood of the Lamb, you can truly say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
That Apostle Paul, when he was preaching, he had a whole lot of obstacles and people coming up with, against him to stop him from carrying out the word of God. But they couldn't do it because what happened is that they made delay what he was doing, but they couldn't stop what Apostle Paul was doing. Just like the devil, he can delay what we're doing, but he cannot stop.
Praise God.
Cannot stop us. We stop with our own mindset. And that's not what we're going to do. We don't live that way.
Mm-hmm.
We're living for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Had to take a drink of water. But we're living according to the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he's done. I thank God that he took my sin. And everybody out there in radio land that tuned into this broadcast, don't let the enemy trick you or fool you that that you still have time. You don't have no time. Time is not in the kingdom of God. God lives in eternity. He steps out into time. And when he comes into time, he will be coming back with his church. So we just have to stay focused, praise God. Each and every morning that the Lord open up your eyes, you should say, thank you, Jesus,
thank
you, Lord, for another day.
Amen.
Because he didn't have to give it to you. He could have carried on in eternity and woke you up where you will lift up your eyes in eternity. Well, I heard a young lady one time, she said, well, Pastor, all I want to do is close my eyes to this world and open them up in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very good and fruitful thought.
Yes.
If we can work things out that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy, as long as he's here on earth, he's not going to allow you to do what you want to do. He's just not going to do that. He's going to come against you with rail and accusation. He's going to come against you to stop everything that you're trying to do. But when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, help me along the way.
Amen.
Give me strength that I'm able to accomplish the purpose in which you called me to do. Praise
God. Praise God.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Because nobody can do us like the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we just have to have that faith and hope in Jesus. Praise God and trust. Because when he comes back, he's coming back with his church.
Yes, yeah. Holy and Church.
He's not coming back. Amen. Old initiated church. Mm-hmm. He's coming back for church that's operating in power. Doing the will of God.
Amen.
Casting out devils. Speaking with new tongues. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is so powerful. We have to keep our mind on what he has done.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Because the blood, I said the blood of Jesus was shed there on Calvary's cross. This is why our hope and trust and faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that somebody out there right now that hearing and listening to this broadcast, you may be religious, you may go to church, you may go and sing songs and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the most important thing is that you have to receive him into your heart and not allow anything or anybody stop you from doing just that.
Yes.
Because that's the most important thing that could take place in a person's life, is that they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. I remember when, well, I wasn't there at the time, but I remember doing a message on the seven things that were spoken at the cross. So what I did is that I chose one, because in this study, you had the choice of doing things or picking whatever last topic that was spoken of on the cross of Calvary, what Jesus said. So I chose the blood of Jesus, because the blood has power. The blood washes. The blood cleanses us. The blood saves us. The blood heals us. And this is why our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be the object of our faith. Our faith can be in nothing else or no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we look unto him. We don't look to man. Man has a part to play in society, but we look to Jesus,
yes,
who is the author and finisher of our faith. He shed his precious blood.
Yes, he did.
On Calvary's cross.
Yes, he did.
Can you imagine the blood? The blood that washed away all sin. There's blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners will plunge beneath it and lose all their guilt and shame. Let me tell you something. You put your trust in Jesus. I pray today that whoever out there in radio land that tuned into this broadcast, you go to church, but you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Let me tell you something. God looks at the heart. And if he sees that your heart is right and you want to do right, he'll move on you. Praise God.
Amen.
You will know that it's God, and he will give your life to him. Praise God. Look at the blood. That's why we give thanks. We give thanks unto the Father, who has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Praise God. I say of the inheritance of the saints. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he has given us that strength and that ability.
Yes.
And we have to utilize it. He has delivered us from the power of God. We are delivered. We've been delivered. The enemy has come around all the time trying to tell you that you belong to him, that you're in bondage. But everything your enemy will tell you, he's telling you a lie. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Because Jesus is God, and he loves us. Praise God.
Amen.
So that word, that power, and everything, the blood of Jesus, says that we give thanks unto the Father. See, the Father sent Jesus. So we give thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in life, who has delivered us. We've been delivered, praise God, from the power of darkness. No matter what's coming up against you, you've been delivered. You have the victory. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And when that devil comes, tell him, praise God. Tell him what the word of God said. I remember one time, I think it was a sister saying, well, Pastor, you better be careful how you talk about the devil like that, because he hears. I said, who cares? I want him to hear. Praise God. So that he'll know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and that we are serving him, not the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
And the victory is mine.
Yes.
Every verse, every line, all is mine. And I believe what God's word says. So I'm going to ask today that those that are tuning into the broadcast, I may not see you. I don't know who you are, but I just want to tell you, praise God, that you have an opportunity to just say a few words with faith. Bring them into your heart and say, Lord, I thank you for your word, because your word is all powerful, and I believe what your word says. So I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would just be so kind to just extend this glorious invitation to everybody, even in the radio space. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, but you've been going to church, you've been saying the right thing. In other words, you've been churchy. You've been churchy all your life. People saw you, huh? Well, churchy. They know how to say the right thing. Churchy, yeah. There are people that are churchy that know how to say the right thing. They get around you, well, praise the Lord. But then any other time, they're acting according to what they want to do. Well, I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would extend this glorious invitation to everyone out there in radio land. And I'm not judging you. I don't know who you are. I'm not saying that you're not saved. But what I am saying is that there may be some people that are listening to the broadcast that have not given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to open it up and see his wonderful salvation.
It says, what saith it? The Lord is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith.
Amen.
Which we preach.
Amen.
That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Praise God.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So whosoever, anyone, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be blessed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross of Calvary.
Amen. There's no other way. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. So there are people trying to come to the Lord in their own way. It won't happen.
No other way.
God loves us. He loves you. He died for you. He gives his life to you, that he might live his life through you. Praise God. So what is happening is that we have a great opportunity now, because the way that things are going, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to come, and that's why we have to get ready. Be ready. Most of the time we tell people, well, get ready. But I want to tell you, be ready. Praise God. Because we don't know the time or the hour that the Son of Man will come. But when he comes back, he's coming back with his reward to give every man according to the work that they have done. Praise God. I want to be one of his servants.
Amen.
Praise God. And he comes back, I want to welcome him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, don't forget, we're still where we're located. And no matter how much battling that the enemy is doing, we are also battling as well. But we are battling with the blood of Jesus. We are talking about how good God is and what he's able to do, where the devil is telling all kind of lies to try to keep the people from entering in. But I want to tell you, just like the Bible tells us in 100 Psalms, enter thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy court with praise. So when you come in to praise my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's a good God. He loves us. Praise God. We want him to be glorified in everything that we're doing. Well, until next time, I'm Pastor Ross.
Minister Gloria Ross.
And we pray and hope that you all will give your life to the Lord if you have not found him already. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we want to put a song on, brother. Praise the Lord. Well, the only song that I can tell them about, praise the Lord, is that all of our sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All of our sins are forgiven because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. My Lord, I have to keep my eyes on the clock the next time and make sure that we know exactly what time is coming. Praise God. So all our sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ is Lord. No matter what's going on in your life, I want to tell you, he loves you so much. Well, many times I tried to carry a tune, but I couldn't carry a bucket. But I just want to tell you, that God is good, and we just want to praise him. So don't forget, call. Telephone number is 321-255-6999. Well, if we're not there, someone will be there to hear what your desires are, and we will return your call. God bless you this time in the utmost, and be fruitful and thank the Lord for this opportunity. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.